I'm going to jump into the Word of God today, and I am excited about teaching these lessons, first of all, because God is he's excited about it, and I'm stirred about it. But this is an area, I believe, other than faith, this particular area is probably in hearing Brother Hagin before, as when he was alive in his ministry 65, 66 years, said that there were two areas that were primarily important, not that all aren't, but two areas that are primarily important is faith and being led by the Spirit of God. And we might, you know, sometimes we can gloss over, and I wanted to spend a few Sundays here and touch on this. And I would ask this question: how many here desire to hear God clearly and give directions in your life? I think everybody does. Those that raised your hand, those you didn't, I would venture to say, if I asked you privately, every single one of you would want to be sure and know and get direction from God, however it comes. You know, I'll share it that way. However it comes to you, you would want to know, before I make this choice, this is the right choice. I'm on the right path. I'm not off over here wasting my time. This is the right way to go. We all want that. And you know what? We all can have it. And it's attainable. And I think that's the key, is that we need to look into the Word of God. I was sharing some things yesterday at a homegoing service. It's a very different, and I would say it was a difficult time to share at this setting, but with God, all things are possible. This was a situation that I'm sure they had, not only that, in a time of prayer, the Lord said, there's a lot of questions and a lot of whys and how come this happened. This was a young lady, I say young, she was close to 60, 56, had been a member at RLCC since 1986. And she was struck and killed, hit and run. And, you know, fortunately they did catch the person that did it. But the family, some are angry, very upset and angry, and wondering, God, why did you let this happen? Why didn't you just reach down and prevent this? Those are natural things. There's nothing wrong with being upset. You know, people have questions. Why didn't you stop this, Lord? And you know the answer? I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't have those answers to those questions. But God knew they were wrestling with that. They were really, some of them were up very hurt and upset. And I said, you can't move on in life until you settle that. You've got to settle something, because you're going to be stuck on that one thing, and it's going to affect everything you do. Your choices, your thinking, you know, it's how you hear how you, in life, you hear people that lose a loved one, and then what did they say? I can't go on in life. And so I'm convinced, I'm absolutely convinced. I don't have the answers for them, but God's Spirit is directing us all the time. Now, why choices were made to be in that spot at that time there to be hit by a car, I can't answer that. But I am convinced of this. God is a good God. The devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so I'm convinced that God will direct us and lead us if we'll listen. And I'm sharing all of this. I'm kind of just sharing a few things before I share the Word of God. It's all involved. But I know for me personally, I'll share something personal, give you application. There was a time, it was in, not this past year, it was in 2014. Or it might have been just right around in 2015, somewhere at the end of 14, beginning of 15. I had a long day. I was coming up here for prayer on Friday nights, this particular Friday. And I left, I was getting ready to leave. It was very late in the day. Well, if you leave late in the day, you have Route 80 to contend with, traffic. And I knew leaving this late, I'm going to get up here very late. I'm going to get here either just by 7:30 or I'm going to be late. Unless I boogie along. So it's a long day, and I'm feeling a little tired, but you know how you do, you shake it off, and I'm getting this kind of sense, not Gabriel and trumpets, I'm just kind of getting this sense, don't go. Wasn't anything strong, it was just a light sense, don't go. But what did I do? I said, oh no, I have to go because I'm assigned and I've got to go. So what I did do? I started to go. And everything's fine. I got up here, had service, we had prayer, wonderful time of prayer, and I'm still fine. And it's late. So now I'm getting on back down the road. I stopped and got a tea so I can have something to drink as I'm going home. And it's, you know, it's this time of year, cold, it's a little chilly. And I'm fine. I'm going all the way down, and I'm getting towards Mahwah, and I'm tired. I can hardly keep my eyes open. Opening the windows, get some air, get some cold air, and I'm kind of just holding on, right? So I'm about 10, 15 minutes from home. The next minute, I wake up. I'm doing 60, 62, 63. I'm below 65. And I knew I was tired, so I said, let me get over here on the shoulder, on the inside lane. And the next thing I wake up, my eyes are staring at the bumper of a car. I had 1, 2, 3, turn, or I would have hit that car. That quick. It was 1, 2, 3, turn. That quick. I'd have been dead. I know it. I was going that quick. And the thing was, the car never shifted over. It was straight. Never got over onto the warning strip. Now ask me why the angels woke me up before I slammed into the back of that car. And the back of that car was a police car who had stopped another car. And I was driving a ministry vehicle. So I am convinced that God warns us. See, now he gave me that little light, don't go. And what I'm sharing is we hear from God, but we need to be more sensitive to when I get that little, don't go, don't, I got to go. See, I had a sense, but I decided to go. And I could have been dead and put this ministry at risk. So, but for the mercy of God. And so, you know, there are things, and I have others to share, that put me at death's door. I've had a few others. I don't have the answers as to why some walk through it and are protected and some don't. I don't have an answer for that. But I do know that God warns us, and he does protect us. But saying all of that, I'm saying we want to get to the place where we hear him clearly even if it's just a light, don't do that, that we don't, I got to go. And it could be anything. It could be any area of our life. Don't look at that. Don't eat that. Don't go there. Don't be with those friends. Any of it. It can be any of that. Because you don't know what you're putting yourself in or what you're exposing yourself to. And so when you get a sense, don't do this, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, it may look innocent. There's nothing wrong with this. So you think. He sees down the road. He knows. So I just shared that. Excuse me. We were at a recent ministers gathering, and this woman heads up the prayer and healing school at Rhema. She's been there almost 30 years, not in that capacity, but she would travel as one of the singers with Brother Hagin when he was alive. She worked supporting someone else in the prayer and healing school, but now she heads it up. And she said they have people come from all over the world that are dying, need prayer. So they're looking to you for an answer. I mean, they know you hear from God, but they're looking to you, I need help. I'm dying. I want an answer. And she was sharing with these ministers, as she said, don't ever get to the place, she was talking and just saying that I have to share this with those that minister the word of God concerning healing. Don't just give people a pat answer. You know what I mean by that? You think you know the answer. This says such and such in the scripture. She said you need to pray and get God's direction for application. And so she said this one lady came. She had been healed of cancer before. She got the victory. And she came, and so the cancer was back. And those that were there to minister to her in this area came to her. She's the head. She's the leader. And they said, we're not making a connection with her. We're not making a connection where this is concerned. Said, we're ministering to her, and nothing, we're not getting a connection. And so she said, okay, just bring her in my office. And so as she was there, she said, you know, let's just pray for a few minutes. So they did. They prayed, and they were praying in the Spirit. And she said, the next thing she knows, she was standing in this woman's living room by the Spirit. And she's standing there looking at her living room. She said, I'm standing in front of a shelf of books. And she said it was as if the Holy Spirit pulled these two books out and highlighted them to me and showed me what they looked like. And she said, you need to tell her to throw these two books away and to stop associating with the person that gave them to you. Just like that. And she said the next thing she knew, she was back and she was there in their presence. She never left, but by the Spirit she had. So she just asked the woman, she said, you know, I don't know you. She said, do you have books in your living room? Yeah, she said, I have a shelf of books. She said, do you have these, you know, these books here? She said, yeah, by the way, and she began to explain them. So she said, I don't know you, right? No. So she said, you need to throw these two books away. And as she asked, how did you get them? Oh, this was a friend, and so forth and so on. And these two books, this particular person was very New Agey and had exposed her to something that wasn't good in God's eyes. And she said the minute she made a choice to throw those two books away, she was instantly healed of cancer. So the point becomes, We need to be led, just like this woman decided to just be friends with this particular person, take these books. May have seemed very innocent, but it exposed her to something. Not being led, not hearing clearly. And, you know, you could go on and on. So we all want to hear him clearly, and we can. It's possible. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for your word is light, and it's life to us. And Father, as we see clearly what we're supposed to do, then our responsibility is to do it. Otherwise, faith without works, without application, without a corresponding action is dead. That just means to us, Father, that faith won't produce anything. It's lifeless. So Holy Spirit, we look to you today, the greater one who lives in us. And we thank you that you enlighten our hearts, you live in us, you give us enlightenment and direction. And we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would unfold to us and make clear the things that we're hearing. And we promise to do them as we see them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles. We do this when we start a lesson. Let's read John 3:16 together. Let's read it out loud together. They say down south, y'all, we all read together. John 3:16, I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let's turn over to John. You're there in John 3. Let's turn over to John chapter 16. Let's look at this here for a minute. And look at verse 12. I'm going to start reading verse 12. Read a few scripture verses here. As I said, our desire is to know the leading of the Lord in our hearts. First thing to qualify is that the real you, and you can read this through the epistles, the real person, you know, sometimes we think, this is me. Well, this is your house. You know, the Bible says this is our tent. This is what we live in. But the real person is your spirit, man. It's the a real part of us, and that's where God communicates with us. That's where the Holy Spirit lives, is in our hearts, in our spirit. And the way God communicates with us in our spirit is, you could say, is your conscience. You know, as we're growing up, you knew something was right. And I say something, you knew something was right and you knew something was wrong. That was your conscience. Your spirit was telling you, this is not right. You didn't know why, you just knew I shouldn't be doing this. It's not right. That's your spirit. And he desires, here in John 16, it says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So right here you can see there's three things that the Holy Spirit is going to do. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to speak those things that he hears. Where? In your heart. And he's going to show you things to come. So he's going to guide you, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to show you things. And so I always, you know, look at it this way, you know, no matter where you have arrived, you know, you may say, boy, I know some things. No matter where you are, there's always more. There's always more in God. You could have reached the highest heights. You can't get any higher than God. There's always more with God, you see. So no matter where we are, there's more, which means it's going to take us, we have to desire more, right? We can get comfortable and say, I'm all right, I'm doing good, and not desire more, right? And guess what? He won't show you more unless you want him. And you might say, well, how is that? Because hold your finger there and go over to Romans chapter 8 for just a second. Romans chapter 8. And you might say, well, I thought he's going to show me more. Yeah, he's going to show you more if you desire more. Now look at Romans chapter 8. And start looking at, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. What does verse 5 say? It says, for they that are what? After the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. See, people get stuck on that. They just think flesh means something sexual. No, it doesn't. Flesh can mean anything. Anything that's carnal. What do I mean by that? Anything that's flesh-based is carnal. What does that mean? Anything that's not spiritual. That's really what that boils down to. Because what does it say? But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit or something that's spiritual. So whatever you put your mind on, that's why I like to say this, whatever you put your mind on, you open your spirit up to. You see. So we can hear God clearly. And I'm going to say it this way. We were saying this before. There's always more in God. There's more that you can get from God. If you want it. If you desire it. And this is what this is saying. For they that are after the flesh do mind, whatever you put your mind on. See? And what does that mean? If I put my mind on things that aren't spiritual, what happens? Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Right? But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So, you know, a lot of times you can tell what folks are thinking about. All you got to do is look at them. Their face is down on the floor. They look tired. They're unhappy or they're mad. Right? About life. About stuff. What have they been thinking on? What has their mind been on? Because if their mind has been on something spiritual, they have life and peace. Even though they're walking through something tough, their mind is on something spiritual. What do I mean? Something that God has said. Not been motivated by the media and all this other stuff that's influenced by the devil. It's death. It's darkness. And what this means to me is, it says here, to be carnally minded is death. That means if you've got your mind always on that, then you can't see clearly. Because God said to be spiritually minded is life. That means I can see. And I can hear him clearly. See? But if I've got my mind on stuff, then there's darkness and it clouds my hearing. My sense of Where is God in all of this? He must be out to lunch. He's not helping me. See? And I'm not saying that we don't walk through seasons of things that God allows. When I say God allows, He's perfecting each one of us. He allows us to walk through something. But at the same time, even while you're walking through that, what is your mind on? If your mind is on something that's not spiritual, then you are going to not, I'm just telling you the way it is. If your mind is on that, it's going to be clouded as to your view of God and how He's walking you through this. And am I hearing Him clearly? See, that's what we're talking about, hearing God clearly. And the primary way that, there are three ways that we hear from God. He speaks to us in our spirit. The primary way, and we're right here in Romans chapter 8, the primary way that He speaks to us, you can look at verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," right, "they are the sons of God." And then you can look at verse 16. "The Spirit," and the King James itself, but He's not an it, He's a Him. And the modern translations say Himself. He does what? He bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So He's bearing witness. What do I mean by that? He's giving us a witness. A witness is not a voice. A witness is your conscience. And I don't want to get ahead of myself with this. You say, "Well, I'm not sure. How do I know it's Him?" If you keep your mind on spiritual things, your heart is a good guide. Now, you're there in Romans chapter 8. We're going to stay there, but just look at the beginning of Romans chapter 9. I want you to look at this so that you get an understanding here. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1. Because we're talking about an inward witness. We're talking about this is God. And let me just back up before I continue. As I said, there's three ways that He guides, He leads us, or he speaks to us. It's an inward witness, which is not a voice. And then there's the still small voice of your spirit. He speaks to your spirit, and your spirit speaks. You know, your spirit has a voice. And then the third way that God speaks to us by His Spirit is that there's an audible voice. He will speak to us audibly. Now, He speaks on the inside, but it sounds like somebody's talking to you just like this. I've had it, and you know the difference. You say, "Well, how do I know?" You'll know. Let me ask this question. Do you know when somebody's speaking to you out loud now? Well, you'll know the same thing. You'll know when He's speaking. You won't be like, "I wonder if it was Him." No, you'll know. Do you know I'm speaking to you right now? You hear me? Yes. Well, you'll hear Him. It's the same thing. People make it complicated. It's not complicated. Now, Romans chapter 9, look at verse 1. It says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience," now I want you to stop here. He's talking about your spirit here now, your conscience. "Also," what does it say? "Bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." Now, that may seem not clear to you because it's King James, it's this old English. But let me read this in some of the modern translations, because when we say a witness, it's really a co-witness. What do I mean by that? There's somebody else giving affirmation. So it's a co-witness. That's what this really means. He said, I say. Who's the real I? Paul is the real him is his spirit. He said, I say the truth, I lie not. My conscience, see, also, that's a co-witness, bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Let me read this. This is the New Living Translation. It said, in the presence of Christ, I speak with utter truthfulness. I do not lie. This is the New Living Translation. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm what I am saying is true. That's a co-witness. This is the Way translation. It says, I'm telling you the truth as a Christian man. It is no falsehood. For my conscience enlightened as it is by the Holy Spirit adds his testimony to mine. This is the Good News translation. I am speaking the truth. I belong to Christ and I do not lie. My conscience, ruled by the Holy Spirit, also assures me that I am not lying. What does all of that mean? Let me ask this question. You're all familiar with streetlights. Let me ask this question. When you drive your car and you're approaching an intersection and you see a green light, do you go, gee, we better slow down. I'm not sure. It may turn yellow. It may not be the right. Maybe we ought to slow down. No, fool, you hit the pedal and you go green. And you go. Right? But when you see yellow, what do? You slow down. And then you know there's going to be a red, so it's a caution, so what do? You get prepared to stop, right? Well, that's similar to being led by the Holy Ghost. We all make choices, right? So sometimes we're so, and don't take this the wrong way. We look to God, it said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. It doesn't say don't use your brain. It doesn't say don't use your understanding. But we have a witness. We have the Comforter. We have the Holy Ghost who's been sent to do what? Guide us into all truth. This is not hard. So we make a choice. We decide, I'm going this way. And if you don't get a caution, what do? You keep going. It's a green light. Sometimes we're not doing anything. We're not making any choices because I'm waiting on the Lord. That's foolish. Make a choice. Decide something. And start moving. And if you get, no, don't do that. That's the co-witness. That's the witness that tells you you're on the wrong path. But if you don't get a green, you don't get a yellow or a red, keep going. You can't steer a parked car. You've got to make some choices in life. You've got to do something. This is not hard in life. We have to do some things. You know, I've heard this from those that have graduated, and I'm sure it's the same in a lot of the, I would say, Christian colleges. You know, there's a few, but I hear this more often than not out at Rhema. They got a lot of folks that went to college out there, so they're going to do the work of the Lord, and they hadn't done nothing. Or they say nothing because they're waiting for direction. That's foolishness. And the people that are doing something just decide, you know what? There's people that haven't heard the gospel in this foreign country. I'm getting a plane ticket and going. And God blesses them. Why? Because they did something. They got up and did something. I mean, we had a minister here last year. He graduated with actually Pastor Saron Clinton, 1980. He bought a one-way ticket. He just decided he bought a one-way ticket to the Philippines. He didn't know anybody, didn't speak the languages. He didn't bring nothing with him except that one-way ticket. He didn't have enough money to do anything when he got there. And he decided to go. And today, after 30-plus years, he's won almost 1 million people to Christ and has built an amazing complex down in the Philippines because he chose to get up and do something. And so, as I'm saying, make a choice, do something, whatever that is. I want to do this. I have a desire to do it. Do it. Go ahead and do it. Start moving in that direction, and the witness, or as we put here, the way it's written, the co-witness of the Spirit of God who does what? He lives in us. He lives us in the inside. He will say, yeah, if I don't have a sense that I shouldn't be doing this, it's green. I'm going. And I'm moving. But if there's a caution, stop. Listen. What should I be doing? What's up? Look. Keep your eyes open. Keep your heart open for direction. Sometimes we're too tentative with things. I'll share another story. Somebody that we've supported in this ministry for over 30 years. He's down in Mexico. He's got Pastor Tim Rogers, who's a graduate at Rhema. He worked a little bit, and then he did some missionary work in Guatemala, and then he moved down to Mexico. Didn't know Spanish, moved his family and young children down there, and now has a thriving. He has 5 Bible colleges down there, or 5. They're all in various parts of Mexico, and he was asked to receive the offering a few years ago at one of the camp meetings. And he was asking the Lord, Lord, I want to give a good offering during this, my church and all of us. We want to give a good offering to support Rhema. And he kept saying to the Lord, you know how we do, Lord, tell me, what should I do? What should I do? Lord, what should I do? Kind of banging on heaven's doors, right? Lord, what should I do? What should I do? And he said, finally, the Lord said to him, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to give? You know, so often we're wanting to have him give us direction, and he's saying to us sometimes, what do you want? What do you want to do? And he'll let you know whether it's right or wrong. How? By the witness. The co-witness. If it's green, what does the scripture say? And I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It said, as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. You purpose some things. You decide. And God will let you know whether it's right or not. Don't lean to your understanding, but don't be somebody that don't use it. Use your understanding. Is any of this making any sense to anybody? And is this helping anybody a little bit? Just a little bit. Because sometimes we just sitting waiting on the Lord and we ain't doing, as they say in vernacular, squat. We're not doing anything. We've squatted down and doing nothing. We're waiting And he's saying, get up off your squat and do something. Do something. And I'll lead you. I'll let you know whether this is right or wrong. I think we could accomplish more for God if we just got up and did something. Even if it was wrong, he'd let you know whether it was wrong. Right? When we have a God that's a good God, my goodness. Sometimes it's like having little kids. You go, would you just get up and do something? Well, I'm waiting for you to tell. No, get up and clean that. Fix that. And you'd let them know whether you didn't want them to do that, right? I mean, I'm just saying, right? So, what are we saying? We're saying that we have a witness, a co-witness in us. And what I was reading in Romans chapter 8 is what you put your mind on, what you meditate on, you open your heart up to. And what am I saying? When you keep your mind on things, it doesn't mean we shouldn't read, it doesn't mean we shouldn't look at the news, it doesn't mean we shouldn't look at these things, it just means that I'm not directed by it. I'm not consumed by it. It doesn't lead my life. God leads my life. The Holy Spirit leads me. It doesn't mean I'm ignorant and don't look at things. It just means that I'm not led by it. Does that make sense? I'm going to make choices in life, and sometimes I need natural information. I may need that, to look at that. It may help me in making a choice. But I'm not led by it. It may confirm something for me. Amen. So, where are we at here? I don't want to say I got off on this, but let me read a few things here. This is in Romans chapter 8. We read Romans chapter 8, 14 and 16. It says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me read these. This is Romans chapter 8, 16 from some modern translations. This is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirits. See? He's bearing witness with my spirit. This is the real me, the real person on the inside of me. Knox translation, it says, the Spirit himself thus assures our spirit. We're saying it another way. I'm moving along. I think I ought to be going this direction. It feels right. And then he assures me that it is right or it's not. See, that's the co-witness. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 16. That's the Knox translation. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. They're just saying it in different ways. It says, the Spirit himself endorses our inward conviction. I like that. Tells me I have an inward conviction. He's endorsing it or not. So it says, the Spirit himself endorses our inward conviction that we really are the children of God. So when we start moving in a direction, he'll either assure or endorse, or he won't. Caution, red light, green. And you'll know, you'll say, well, how will I know? Let me ask this question. When you were growing up, did you know when you were doing something right or wrong? That's your conscience. That's how he's going to bear witness with you. You'll know. You'll just say, just something doesn't feel right about this. You know, there's things that I have done in life, and we all have, where, you know, you start to do something and you go, just something, I can't fill this piece of paper out. Something doesn't feel right. What is that something? That something's your conscience. It's stirring you. It's letting you know something's just, it doesn't feel right. Then stop. That's a yellow. That's a caution. That's a holdup. But if you feel right doing this, keep going till you get a caution. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that help somebody? Sometimes you have to make it simple enough, because where people live, they are trying to, well, how do I apply this? How? What do you mean by all of this? You read all of these scriptures, but how does that work in my life? I'm convinced that every one of us here can hear clearly and never make a mistake. Never make a mistake. And it's possible. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice, and my voice they follow. And so he will speak to us. He'll guide us. He'll lead us. So the Spirit of God in us will bear witness with our hearts. Not only that we're the children of God, but he'll assure you that the decisions that you make are accurate. 1 John 2:20, it says, but you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You might say, well, I don't know all things. He does, and he'll reveal them unto you and let you know the things that you need to know. Amen. I really don't have much more to share. I just feel impressed that this is something today that really needs to be focused on. That people, my desire, I'll just put it to you this way. If you put your mind on spiritual things, you'll have life and peace. Let me say it another way. Just maybe reflect, close your eyes, think of a peaceful setting or a peaceful time that you've had in life. When you were peaceful, were you more settled? Did you hear things? Your mind wasn't clouded with stuff. But when there's peace in your heart and peace in your mind, we're more apt to be sensitive to God and his leadings and his voice. But when we're troubled about many things and troubled about choices that we have to make, I'm not here to tell you you can't hear from God or won't be led, but when you are troubled with things, it clouds things up. It makes it more difficult to hear clearly from him the choices that you need to make. And my desire, me personally, is that my heart is sensitive in every situation. Have we all arrived? No, we're all at varying growth levels, but my heart's desire is that I hear him so clearly. You know, it was like this a funeral that I did yesterday. When I was waking up, I was quiet Friday morning, and I very clearly, just quietly, I heard the Spirit of God speaking, but it was my spirit speaking. And I could very clearly hear on the inside, they have many questions. They're questioning, why did this happen? Why? And the Spirit of God said to me, now you tell them, I'm here to help them during this difficult time if they will come to me and ask for my help. And the compassion of God. And this was a very difficult, as I said, this was a hit and run, this was a murder, a difficult, I say, it wasn't premeditated, but it happened in a death. And one of the I didn't know this, but I was told by one of the sisters that the brother was so angry, he wanted to hurt this person. Well, anger in and of itself is not wrong. It says be angry and sin not. So getting angry, there's nothing wrong with being angry. God gave us emotions. You know, sometimes people think, well, we shouldn't be angry. Says who? It just means that I'm not letting anger control me and my choices. Jesus got angry and then turned around in that same setting and healed somebody. And he never sinned. So Jesus got angry. We can mourn. It just says, don't mourn as those that have no hope. We can cry. God gave us emotions. But what am I saying in all of this? I'm saying that we need to, when we have to make choices, spend time being quiet, find a place or a time that you can hear clearly to make choices in life and to make some of the choices that we have to make. Because I'm convinced in the times that we're living in, the times that we're living, the darkness is getting darker and darker and darker. But we who are light or a candle should be set on a hill and should be a witness and not getting involved in the darkness and making the wrong choices. But if we keep our minds on spiritual things, we'll have life and peace. And he'll guide us and lead us into all truth. And he'll help us make the right choices and decisions. He'll help us. And I'm telling you, the stuff that's being thrown out in front of people to consume on, whether it's in your personal associations, what you read, what you listen to, all of that, God will let you know. This is what I'm talking about. For some, maybe looking at that or hearing that is not something that I may look at or listen to. But he will let each one of us individually. It doesn't say he will guide you like he guides me. He's going to guide each one of us individually because he knows you. He knows where you are. He knows what's will cause you to fall and what will help you. So for each one of you, we're all led individually by the Spirit of God, and he will let each one of us know what the right way to go is in life so that we can be a success. And we can do it. And we're going to do it. Amen. Praise God. That's essentially what I wanted to share today. That's what's in my heart. Hearing from God clearly. Not just sitting down, but making some choices. Getting up. If you don't hear something from God, what do I mean by that? He hasn't given you personally any directions. Then get up and make a choice. Do something. And in the doing, he'll lead you. He'll let you know whether it's the right way or not. Because every one of us here, the potential for every one of us here, we all have the potential to be a major success. Every one of us. He's not holding back anything. And I've said this many a times, every one of us has the potential to be a millionaire. A multi-millionaire, a multi-multi-millionaire. No, I'm not playing with that. I'm very serious. You know, Brother Hagin talked about this young man. He was in his early 20s when he was alive, and he was teaching faith, victory when he was alive, focused on teaching faith and messages of faith and believing God. He said this young man took and bought his cassette tapes and listened to them over and 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 over. He was in his 20s. He took, I don't remember if it was $50 or $500, and he built it into a multi-million dollar business. Real estate. Had his own private jet or jets to fly him around. But what he did is every time he had to make a choice, he would get quiet and he wouldn't be pushed into making a choice. He'd get quiet and he'd wait on the Lord till he was comfortable and assured this was the right choice. And he wasn't frustrated. And every choice he made, it was as if, as you know how the world says, man, he stepped in it. No, he didn't step in nothing. He was led by God. You know, the stories goes, he invested in property back then. This is years ago. He invested in property. The people said, why are you going over there? He said, I don't know. I'm just led. I'm going to buy this big piece of property. And then turn up, they want to build a shopping mall and buy his property for oogobs of money. See? So, again, we all have the potential to hear from God. We all can be a success. The key is we're going to have to take the time and look on the inside to be led. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God.